Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Today on The Grave Talks, investigating the invisible. We continue our conversation with psychic medium, Holly Faust. Now, on an entirely different kind of side of you, one of your other Hollies, you're the occult symbol / spiritual beliefs researcher for Phantom Detectives Group. Now, yes. Tell me a little about the occult symbol part and how you got interested in that. What do you do with that information? Do you need that even very often?
Needing it very often, not really, unless you're doing like places that have been abandoned or, you know, quote unquote, people are talking about, you know, possible satanic rituals. Mm-hmm. And for me, it became, I had a friend who was actually a practicing Satanist and not a ritualistic one, but, you know, a theist. And I found how much people didn't understand about the symbology, not only of stuff like that, but also within older things. You know, like the old symbology of Egyptian times and the symbology of different Celtic and different regions like that, that used a lot of pictures. And I realized that a lot of things had been taken and made to be bad and evil when they actually started as wholesome and good. And I felt, you know, so many people were trying to, like, I lived through the satanic panic of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I realized how much information was put out there that caused a mass hysteria that wasn't true. And so for me, I symbology became something that I was very attached to. Understanding the symbols, where they came from and what they mean. Because just because you see a symbol doesn't automatically mean that it's bad and evil. You know, I'm very much involved in witchcraft, and our symbology, you know, like a pentacle is not evil at all. It's actually a symbol of the elements. And that's something that people don't understand. They see that and they think it's bad. I had people when I was wearing one tell me that, oh, you worship the devil. No, I don't. But okay, if you want to believe it.
Tell them you're studying witchcraft, obviously that's
right,
worshiping
and that's
the devil.
And I mean, do you know how many Christian witches I know? Like they like literally go to church every Sunday, but yet they also, because witchcraft isn't a religion. Witchcraft is a path. Mm-hmm. It's a path with being one with the earth, and people don't understand that. And that's why I got so heavily involved with symbology and with the occult, because the occult is just hidden, you know, esoteric things that people don't realize aren't evil. And if I can educate someone and help them to look at another human being, and instead of with disdain, look at them with a little bit of respect, then I did my job in that case, because I hate seeing people looked upon as bad, unless they are truly bad. If they're a truly bad person, I'll say, yeah, they're bad. But I don't want them to be looked at just by the symbols they wear, mm-hmm. or by the path or belief system that they hold. And that's why I felt, especially in the paranormal, because we get it so much, especially where I live, I hear all the time, oh, such and such has a dark team. Well, what the heck is it? Oh, well, they only go out and do the demon. And I said, you do understand demonic hauntings account for less than 3% of all paranormal activity. No, that's not true. Okay. But it is. And so like, that's the thing. I'm like, my nickname has always been Hermione. So, because that basically I'm that person that always has the books. Now I have an iPad, so I don't have to carry around all the books.
Which is so much easier.
Oh, so much easier, because I have hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of books. And a lot of them are on symbology, and a lot of them are on the occult, because I want to be able to have it in the grasp of my hands where I could take a symbol that we're seeing and show somebody it's not evil. And to me, that means so much more than proving that, you know, whether we have ghosts and paranormal activity, because I know it's there, but other people don't have to believe that. And until science can actually hold it and prove, a lot of people aren't going to believe in it. And I get my husband's family all the time crack jokes about it. I just got asked this past weekend, are you still doing that ghost hunting thing? I'm like, yep. And I'm getting ready to go the end of this month to Gettysburg.
What I do.
Yep, that's what I do, man. I went to North Carolina to the Ryan Institute because I wanted to learn about not just the paranormal, but about psi and all this other stuff that's out there.
Well, and just like we were talking about the cult symbols, but, you know, because the original question was / spiritual beliefs. Those mm-hmm. two things in what you do, it's kind of two sides of one coin.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, because a lot of occult symbols are part of a spiritual belief system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what people don't realize. And the biggest part with me, with the spiritual beliefs, it's like more spirituality than actually like beliefs in general. But, you know, my biggest thing on that side is getting everyone to accept people of all beliefs. When you walk into the house as a team, and you're working with a Jewish family, you don't want to be chanting Catholic prayers, or you don't want to be reading from, you know, a book of shadows. You want to be respectful. And that's where the spiritual beliefs aspect comes in. And it's something I write about a lot. Just simply, you know, working with your client. Because if you're working with a client that's being harmed or feels like they're being harmed, and you're not working with them on a level that they understand, then that torment is going to continue happening over and over again.
Because one thing that you do with the phantom detectives, and we talked about this in our other episode, was you do go into private homes. And mm-hmm. so I do not
with them. I'm based at home with them. I'm more like an advisory capacity, a mentorship capacity with them, but they do go into homes. Yes.
Yeah. So that information to find out, you know, I think it's very important to find out what their religious backgrounds are and how you could go in and help remove something or make this a more livable situation for them.
Yeah, and that's what I think is the most important thing is that, you know, if you can't work with a client where they're at, then you need to find somebody who can, because you're not going to be able to help them if you're not coming at them from a level that they can understand.
So to me, that I just think that kind of makes sense. Because at first when I read that, I'm like, occult symbols and spiritual beliefs, it almost seems like two totally different things. But when you really think about it, there's a lot of similarities, mm-hmm. too.
Oh, there are. They overlap a mm-hmm. lot. And that's why, like, you know, it is important to have someone in that capacity. And I'm a big promoter of that with every team. Have someone on your team that understands the occult and understands spirituality. And because if you are only working as a Christian investigator and you are asked to help someone who is not of the same belief as you, at least have someone that can guide you and how to help that client the best way.
Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing you don't always think about, because you just think of, I think, like the lowest common denominator. We're all familiar with the exorcist. So obviously yeah. you're going to have the priest come in and he's going to bring his cross and this is how he's going to get rid of this.
Right. But would you do that, say, for someone who is Muslim?
Right.
Because, you know, it could be something totally different afflicting someone of that faith path. And yes, there are exorcisms at every faith path. It doesn't just have to be a priest. You can study Muslim exorcisms. You can study Jewish exorcisms. You know, the evangelicals have their own form of it. Every spiritual path has their own belief in how an exorcism should be held. And then you have the paths that believe that that's just something totally different than what, you know, the more Abrahamic religions look at as demonic.
See, you've given me new things to think about today, Holly.
Well, I'm glad I could. That's what I try to do.
Thank you.
And these are the things that go through my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sleep a lot.
I can't imagine you even have time.
Well, when I get into bed at night, all these thoughts go through my head about, well, what about this? And what about that? Or maybe we should try this. And, you know, so then I have to get up in the middle of the night and I message one of my friends and say, hey, what do you think about this? And thankfully, they're like 4 hours behind me. So they're usually still awake when I have my epiphanies in the middle of the night.
Now, you have been doing investigations for a long time.
Yes.
And do you have any locations that you have investigated that might have really surprised you, or a location that something really different happened there, or you were drawn there? Just one that really stands out to you.
Malvern Manor. In Malvern, Iowa.
Yeah, I think really I did an episode with him.
Yeah. Oh, you did an episode with
mm-hmm.
Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I love Josh.
He was great.
Yeah. Here's the story. My friend and him were partners for a little bit, but before they became partners, I kept having dreams about this house, and I didn't know where it was. It was somewhere in the Midwest, and it had a porch, but it was offset from the road. So the porch wasn't facing the road. It was facing the corner. And I kept hearing a voice saying, Gracie, Gracie, Gracie. And, you know, that was my friend's name. And so I didn't know that she was looking into going into partnership with him at the time. And I called up another one of my friends. I'm describing this building. I'm like, I don't know what this place is, but I keep dreaming about it. And what was very interesting is that they pulled up a picture of Malvern and sent it to me. And they said, is this it? And I'm like, oh, my God, where did you find that?
No.
And it was. And then I told my friend about it. And she said, oh, by the way. So she was keeping something from me because until it was finalized. But yeah, I knew that she was being called there. And then she since, you know, turned everything back over, you know, with them. But when we got out there, I was just, you know, we were doing investigations and we decided to go up into the attic and do a seance. Now, I have done a bunch of these before. Never had anything, you know, other than knocks and things like that happen. Never had anything of great importance, but I had a lot of people that night that were getting uncomfortable, people getting touched, and, you know, people had to leave because they didn't feel comfortable with being touched and the spirits wouldn't listen. But on the left-hand side of me, I had this big 200 and some pound cop, you know, he was a skeptic, and I could feel him moving, while we were doing this seance. And he was a big guy, like real big. And all of a sudden he just jumps up and screams. And everybody that was watching the video downstairs literally physically saw him getting pulled away from me and into like this alcove area by the window. I had never experienced that before, and I've never experienced it since. But when I, like, when people said they literally physically saw this 200 plus pound guy being physically moved, I was just shocked because I could feel him moving. I just thought he was moving, that he was uncomfortable because it's not comfortable sitting on a floor. But that was like one of the craziest things I've ever had. That place in general can be pretty crazy at times. They have a little bit of everything there. You know, they have what I call, like, I experienced, the only other place I ever seen one was at the St. Albans in Virginia, in Radford, Virginia. And they call it a crawler. It's like a black thing that'll chase you down the hall. And they have one of them. They have a room that you go into and you feel like you lose time when you're in this room. It gets so black and dark. And then you come out and you feel like you've lost time, but you haven't. So yeah, that place, I would go back again and again if it wasn't like a 2-day drive.
Right. Now, when did you get a chance to talk to the guy from the seance after it was over? Because as a skeptic,
yes, he kept messaging me on Facebook all our whole 2-day trip back to Pennsylvania.
Because that had to have been really...
He was very traumatized by
exactly.
It. He never went out to another... It was like not too long after that, him and his wife ended up divorced. And he never... I don't think he ever went investigating again after that. Like, he was a diehard skeptic. He didn't believe in this stuff. And, you know, me, I'm just like, well, I guess they showed you that they want to be believed.
Because that would be really hard to process as a skeptic. Now you can't explain it. So I think you would have two reactions. One is to dive into it further to see if you can find an explanation, or the other is to stay completely away from it.
Yeah, and he chose to. Now me, I started as a huge believer in everything paranormal. And through the years and the more I've investigated, I become what I call a healthy skeptic. I go into everything skeptic and I want it to be proven. If I can't disprove it, then I'll believe it.
I think that's a good way to approach it, because not everything's going to be paranormal. And there are times where there are explanations for things. It could be the pipes in the house are old and they're rattling and you hear that. Like, I have a tree outside that can hit my house just right, and it sounds very strange, but I know it's the tree.
Freak me out.
But it took me a while to figure out it was the tree once I moved
in. I go through my house all the time trying to debunk things all the time, because I tell people I am a big old scaredy cat.
You don't sound like one, Holly.
Well, I am, though. Like, I will totally admit, you know, I am a scaredy cat. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm a scaredy cat. If I feel something touch me, I run. And for like 2 years, I was wheelchair bound. I had to use a scooter or some type of assisted devices because I had a blockage in my leg. And after my surgery and I started investigating again, I remember one of my friends making a comment, man, I liked it so much better when she couldn't run. Because... I will.
And you're like, I didn't.
Something that I am not comfortable with, I run. The Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio. I ran everywhere in that place. I probably lost 10 pounds that night because of the things that we were experiencing and that I just wanted no part of.
Oh, I would be right there with you. Let's run.
Yeah, like we were coming down from the chapel and I literally felt something grabbed my shirt to pull me back. I'm going to turn around and there's nobody there. Man, I ran down 2 or 3 flights of steps. I just got that momentum and I didn't stop until I got to the safe room.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm like, but then I went back out, you know, because then I want to know. But when that experience hits you, you know, it's every person's reaction is fear. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that nothing scares them. But I admit, I'm fearful. Like Michael Myers from the Halloween movies, I see him at Halloween parades and I run away crying because my brother and sister traumatized me with those movies as a child. So as an adult, I'm still afraid of him.
Which actually makes some sense.
Yeah, I'm more afraid, though, of the people from TV than I am real spirits. So my husband always laughs about that. He's like, you're afraid of like Jason and Michael Myers when they're not even real, but yet you go hunting ghosts.
He's got a point.
Yeah. And I'm like, but the ghost never did anything to hurt me.
See, and then there's that voice in my head that would be like, yet.
Well, and I shouldn't say that because I have been knocked down a few times, but nothing that I didn't get over.
I still think you're brave.
Excuse me?
I still think you're brave.
Yeah.
For doing it.
St. Albans was the location where we had that. They call it the crawler. Ugh. And it literally knocked me on my butt because I stood up to it. Like everybody else like ran away. I made a joke. Like we had these two big heavy metal guys with us and one of my friends and another one of my friends. And we heard a pop and seen this shadow coming at us out of in the laser grid. And they're all like, well, what should we do? And I'm laughing. And I said, I don't know, run. So they all ran and I stood there. And I think that's why I run now, because of having that experience of like being knocked down physically by something.
Yeah.
So now I run before they can knock me down.
And I have heard there is another place I talked to and they had one of those crawler things. I don't know what that is.
They are the scariest thing because they're just like a big black, like some people call them shadow creatures, but they're not like a typical shadow man or anything like that. They're just a big black entity that just crawls on the wall or the floor or the ceiling right at you. And like my theory is something like that is either going to hit you or disappear. So if you stand there, you're either going to get knocked over or it's going to disappear. And that's what I kept trying to tell them at Malvern, but nobody wanted to go back and face it down with me.
I really don't blame them, though.
I'm like, come on, let's go. And they're all like, no. I'm like, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Well, let's have that conversation. So you've also written books. And
yes.
I see two.
I've published, and I have three that I'm in the writing processes of.
So one of them is My Journey Out of the Darkness, and that would go back to
my early paranormal career.
Okay. And then The Witch's Book of Things, Witch's Planner, and what's that?
Grimoire.
Grimoire. Okay.
Yeah, we noticed we were on a very large witches group on Facebook for witches here in Pennsylvania. And we noticed like during COVID, there was a huge uptick in witches on TikTok. And that a lot of the information that they were giving was pretty bad. So we wanted to create something for beginners to have a basis of understanding how to start a book of shadows or, you know, as a Celtic person, a grimoire. And so I came up with, you know, basically it's all basic beginners herbs, you know, color magic, different correspondences with the moon, just things that we do, you know, during different phases of the moon so that these younger, you know, witches coming out can get a basic understanding of how to start out in a safe way. Because again, to me, safety is a big thing. I think there's so many people out there looking to take advantage of others that they just put out really bad information and they don't care about what happens to the people who are taking it.
What do you think causes or has been the root cause of everyone assuming witches is a demonic, satanic practice?
The media.
Because, you know, you go way back to Salem and...
Yeah, and Salem, it was mass hysteria.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, you know, at that time, people in the church and people who were jealous, you know, because if you really look at it, most of the people that were accused and convicted in Salem were landowners or single women or midwives or herbalists. You know, were they witches? Well, we don't know. But could they have been? Yes, because most of us as witches are herbalists. You know, we practice herbal medicine. We practice, you know, yeah. Do we go out and dance naked under the moon? No. That might be a good time, but no, it's not something. It's not something that we practice regularly. It was made to for people to look at that by modern media,
mm-hmm.
and there's still witch hunts that go on today, and especially in Europe and other countries, like, you know, especially a lot of the, you know, the lower countries that don't, you know, have access to a lot of things. There's still witch hunts that go on there. And women are still being burned at the stake for witchcraft. And it's sad because it is a peaceful practice and path. We revere the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We respect the earth. And, you know, we try to heal from within. Like, I do employ a lot of herbalism, but I also trust in, you know, modern medicine. I think they can work together and be complementary to each other. So, yeah, I really think nowadays a lot of it has to do with media. Back in, you know, the witch hunt and witch trials, a lot of it had to do with mass hysteria. People were afraid of what they didn't understand.
And I think, too, there were men who just didn't want to be married to her while she's a witch.
Yeah.
So
I can see that, too.
You know, and, you know, looking back historically, you know, a couple hundred years ago, there was no modern medicine. They didn't have cures for things. So they did do herbal
mm-hmm.
treatments, and nothing at all wrong with that. But at some point it became, oh, that's witchcraft. And
so, yeah. And yeah. And I don't know when that trend, you know, came about, when we stepped away from, you know, the herbalist side of things. And now all of a sudden people that employ that are bad.
Yeah, because hundreds, even, you know, you go back to hundreds of years ago, you know, think about, yeah,
King Charles II,
what kind of medicine did they have? There's somebody who's kind of putting concoctions together.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, most indigenous people, like whether here or in other countries, they still employ herbalism.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff I learned from my grandmother. And you know, my kids will laugh because they'll get sick and I'll be, you know, giving them cough syrup. But at the same time, I'll be wrapping towels around them that have been soaked in onions because I know that'll draw out infection in their chest. And they'll be like, Mom, this smells so bad. I'm like, trust me, it works.
You can take a shower later, but yeah, right now.
Put some eucalyptus in it when you're up there, but just get a shower when you're done.
Well, now the books, yeah, I saw, you can go to your website and you can, like, there was a link that just goes right to Amazon if you want to get either
of the
books.
I have links. And then my other ones, I'm hoping. My paranormal book took me almost 10 years to write.
Well, and writing's hard. It's finding time to
do
it.
It is. And then when it's personal. Mm-hmm. Like, I started a second book right after I published that one. I don't even remember how many years ago that was. On working with kids with special needs who have psychic gifts.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And I have the cover art was done by a very good friend of mine, and it's a beautiful cover art for the book. And it's just a struggle because I am sharing innermost deep things that happened in our lives with the world. And I want to make sure I'm not only being honorable to myself, but to my children.
Right.
And, you know, now they're adults, so it's a little bit easier. But when I started writing it, they were still children. And I struggled with releasing it, and I would start over, and I would scrap it, and I would start over. And now I think I'm like halfway through it. But when it's personal, you really want to make sure you're putting out the best thing that you can.
Absolutely. And promise me you'll finish that, because that would be so fascinating.
I think it's very important because I have seen so many kids, especially with autism, that have these gifts that their parents don't understand. Like William Stillman is an amazing author with autism who wrote a book called Autism and the God Connection. And he really opened up my eyes to what my children were experiencing, and it really got me to seek other outside help for them because of their gifts. And they don't know how to control them. And kids with autism and any types of neurodevelopmental disabilities or disabilities, I think, have a unique connection with a higher power than mm-hmm. any of us do, because they are so pure.
So true. I do a lot with special needs kids, and you're so spot on with that. There's something there that's they see the world differently.
Totally. My children taught me, believe it or not, how to slow down and enjoy simple things. Like, there is nothing more than I love to do because of my kids than run outside in my bare feet when it rains and run through all the mud puddles. And that was something that they taught me. Like, you know, not only do I look at a rose and I smell it, but I look at all the petals and if there's dew on it, and mm-hmm. appreciate every aspect of that. And those were the things my kids taught me. Before that, I was so career focused. And I just wanted to have a career and have money and have a big house. And now I don't care. You know, as long as my kids are happy, my husband's happy, and I'm happy, that big house doesn't matter. Those beautiful brand new cars don't matter. The only thing that matters is the people in my life.
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
And it's why I feel it's so important to get that story out there for parents, because a lot of times parents don't think of slowing down, because their children that have these special needs are experiencing everything.
Mm-hmm.
with their sensory system and sensory overload. And it's just a constant inundation of things. And that's why that book to me has been such a struggle, because I want to make sure it gives the best sound advice to parents.
And that's just that's a very personal book to write.
Yeah, it really was. It's harder than my first paranormal book was, believe it or not.
Well, you need to come back on and we need to just do a whole episode on witches. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh my God, I would love it because it's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about. They don't understand the correlation between that and other things, but I think it's an important thing to get out there to kind of destigmatize people, like, because they could be sitting in church on a Sunday and they don't know the person next to them could be a witch.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell them. Hey, I tell people all the time, hey, do you know your minister's a witch?
And it's not like you're bringing the devil in with you, you know?
No, you're a good person. Yeah, I don't. And I think that would be great, because I think, like I said, there is so much stigma attached to witchcraft that I think needs to be busted down. And I wish more people, and I know a lot with TikTok especially, has helped to destigmatize everything with witchcraft, but there's still a lot of it out there.
Let's do that. That would be really interesting. Your website's hollyfaust.com, FAUST, and I'll put a link in the show notes. So you can definitely check that out. But Holly, thank you very, very much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was enjoyable.
And that wraps up our conversation with Holly Faust. For more information, visit her website at hollyfaust.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com. This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.